The Senate Committee on Veterans and Emergency Preparedness is coming over. Madam Vice Chair.
This week is Women's Military History Week, and there are portraits of women veterans from ODVA's I Am Not Invisible campaign. They are supposed to be on display here, but I don't know where. Has anyone seen where they are? Anyway, the portraits are going to be on display Wednesday and Thursday. Wednesday is tomorrow, and that's Thursday right. The next day. So it is really a remarkable exhibition featuring 20 portraits of Oregon women military veterans. There are more than 28,000 women veterans in Oregon, a number that has risen steadily over the past 30 years, and yet women veterans still continue to face significant barriers and challenges in accessing necessary health care and other services while experiencing a lack of recognition, unlike their male counterparts. I think by spotlighting the many faces of this diverse and important segment of the Oregon veteran community, it's I Am Not Invisible aims to increase awareness and dialogue about women veterans, as well as open viewers' eyes to the myriad contributions, needs, and experiences of women who have served in the military. The project is the brainchild of a Portland State University Veterans Resource Center director, Felita Singleton, and ODVA Women Veterans Coordinator, Elizabeth Esterbrooks, who also curated the February 24th debut exhibition at the Portland Art Museum. And after the display at the Portland Art Museum, the exhibit began a traveling campaign and will be appearing at various locations throughout the state. So I'm anxious to see that tomorrow, Wednesday, and see what's happening with those portraits and see our outstanding women veterans. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Thank you, Madam Vice Chair. Colleagues, we're going to do two public hearings, SB 116 and SB 380. And since I've had undue influence, I have to go testify with the co-chairs downstairs. I will be right back, and I will let the good vice chair determine which senator is going to come up first.
Who's seeing you?
We have both of them.
Okay. I will call Senator Hansel and Senator Riley up. And we will open a public hearing on Senate Bill 116.
I'm not testifying on that. It's just
he's on a different bill.
I know. I was just going to have you both.
Oh okay.
That's very, very good. Then I'm on the show.
We're bipartisan here.
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay, Senator Riley.
Thank you, Madam Chair and members of the committee. Senate Bill 116 is a simple bill with a drafting error or a possible misinterpretation. What I asked this bill to be drafted to do is make the state forests use be exactly like the state parks use for disabled veterans and veterans on leave. And it turns out that it can be read that way, but the Forestry Department read it the other way, which is that it's only good on 3 days a year for these disabled veterans. And but it's a simple bill if it's read right. It simply use the pass that is for disabled veterans for state parks and allow that use in state forests.
So where are our state forests?
Where are they?
We have them, and I know our state parks, but I didn't know that we needed a pass to get into some of our state forests.
There are camping facilities in many of the state forests, and some day use areas as well.
Okay. There's no one to other. Thank you. Are there any other questions for this bill?
I have one.
Yes.
Thank you, Senator Riley. I actually have two questions, if you don't mind, please. So when you had in there Memorial Day, Independence Day, and Veterans Day, that's the 3 days they assumed they could use it for free.
Mm-hmm. Yes, that's correct.
Amend that to take those out?
No. What I was going to do is amend it to put in an and before on. So that would...
Oh, good. And my second question, if you don't mind, is would you mind if I got on this bill with you?
Not at all. I would be happy to have you on the bill.
Thank you very much. I appreciate it. It's a good bill. What?
You know, the guy will do anything to get his name.
Well, yes. It's the only way I can get anything passed, sir, is hook onto a good legislation and a good legislator.
Let's see if he wants to
talk to me, Andrew. I'm going to have to approve that.
Okay, is there any other...
sorry, Madam Chair.
...intelligent conversation for this bill?
Or not.
Okay. All right. Thank you, Senator Alley. I will close the public hearing on Senate Bill 116, and I will open a public hearing on Senate Bill 380 and call up Claudia Siobhanu as well as Senator Hansel.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Members of the committee, for the record, my name is Bill Hansel, State Senator for Senate District 29, Northeast and North Central Oregon. I come before you today as the sponsor of Senate Bill 380, a bill which came about from a letter I received from a constituent, a disabled veteran in Pendleton. Mr. J.P. Bailey wrote to my office with the following letter. Senator Hansel, currently the state of Oregon provides free camping days for veterans who served our country. I've had the opportunity to take advantage of this program in the past. However, now many state parks fill up well ahead of time before the veterans can partake in and use this program. Current state park rules provide the public with the opportunity to make reservations for campsites 9 months in advance. I ask that you allow disabled veterans the ability to make a reservation for a campsite in a state park 10 months in advance. This would provide a little advantage that would cost Oregon nothing and would greatly elate the few of us who might use it. J.P. Bailey. Senate Bill 380 attempts to solve this problem Mr. Bailey brought to my attention. Senate Bill 380 would require the State Park and Recreation Commission to adopt rules that would allow disabled veterans the opportunity to make reservations at the state park 1 month sooner in the reservation system than the length of time others are able to do so. This is the least we can do to help our disabled veterans in our state enjoy our parks. Thank you, and I would be happy to answer any questions you might have.
Let's go ahead and have your testimony.
Madam Chair, members of the committee, for the record, my name is Claudia Chobano. I work for the Oregon Parks and Recreation Department, and it's my pleasure this afternoon to share some of the highlights of the Special Access Pass program, which provides free camping to veterans with a service-connected disability. We started this program in 2006, and since then we have enrolled over 40,000 participants. This is truly a unique program nationwide, and it is unique for two reasons. One, it focuses on all U.S. veterans, not just Oregon's. All other state programs focus on the residents of that particular state. The second reason why it's unique is because it doesn't have a minimum disability level. We allow everything from a 0% service-connected disability to as high as 100%. Most states require at least 30% disability for a discount, and very few offer true free camping like Oregon does. But if they do that, they only do it for veterans who are 100% disabled. Like I said, our program is strong, 40,000 participants. Oregon veterans are 77% of that, but we have every state represented. It's a very popular program and continues to grow. We have about 100 new applicants every month, and in our peak time during the summer, that can go as high as 200. What do we truly provide is 10 nights a month in a tent, a full RV hookup or a horse camp. We also provide free showers in our campgrounds without having to be a registered camper at that particular site. And we also provide free day use access in the parks that charge a parking fee. How the program works is there's a simple application process in addition to proof of service-connected disability. Our staff review that application and then they issue a card that looks like this. The card has a unique number on it. That number is entered into a database and connected to the reservation program. It's that number that then allows a program member to make a reservation on the phone or via the online system for a campsite. They can also show up at the park and show this particular card. If there is inventory available, they can walk into that site without having to make a reservation. We ask our program participants that they show the card in addition to proof of ID to validate that they are a program recipient. We've been working closely with the VA to promote the program to veterans and to improve it. In 2016, we have made two notable improvements that increased access to veterans to our sites and also saved them money. One of the biggest changes we've made, and I can't believe I have to say this because it was 2016, our veterans could not make a reservation online and receive their fee waiver, essentially. So if they wanted to book online, they would have to pay in full and then wait until they arrived at the campground to request the discount. We took advantage of our contract with our reservation provider, Active Outdoors, expiring, and we made that a requirement going forward. So they now validate against the numbers that we put in the database so that the disabled veterans in our program can book online and receive the discount. I think that's hugely beneficial to them for two reasons. As you can imagine, if you have to front the cost of a park stay sometimes as far as 9 months ahead, that makes it a little bit less affordable for some of the veterans in our program. And also, it prevented them from getting access to prime sites during our popular times. If they were forced to only call to make the reservation and receive the discount, if you're calling for 4th of July weekend, let's say, or Memorial Day weekend, those wait times can be pretty lengthy. And as the veterans sit on the phone and wait for a customer service agent, some of those sites get booked up online. Now, since May 2016, we've leveled the playing field for everybody, and we've received tremendous support from our program recipients that we are finally able to give them this benefit. The second thing that we did is we allow the 10 nights to be consecutive. While before May 2016, while they had 10 nights a month, they could only use up to 5 nights in one stay. So for the veterans who prefer to have longer stays, if they go now over the 5 nights, then that's a savings discount for them because they don't have to make up that difference out of their pocket. We've also increased our response time to applications. We now issue cards on the spot if they come to our office in Salem, and if they apply by mail, we do it, inside of 5 business days. The usage of the program is pretty large. We waive $1.5 million in fees every biennium. 70% of that usage happens to be during our prime season when parks are at capacity, and on the weekends in the summer, quite higher above capacity when we use every buffer site that we have. The potential impacts of extending the reservation window for veterans with a service-connected disability, it could reduce our revenue and displace current loyal customers, and it could increase the costs for our department, our contractor, and potentially all customers in the future. The reduction of revenue, we believe, will happen because given the current usage patterns for our program recipients, as I mentioned, more than 70% of them use our campsites during popular times, we anticipate the impact will be on those prime sites, not during the off-season when we have plenty of capacity to accommodate more sites. So if they're able to book early, they could increase their use during prime season, which will then displace our current loyal customers and reduce our revenue during our peak earning times. Increasing costs will happen in a variety of ways. First of all, communication. The change that this bill is asking for goes against 20 years of reservation tradition. The reservation window is sacred to our customers. We have trained them well. They still ask if we could break the reservation window for certain groups, and we have always denied those requests because we considered it important to preserve equal access for all customer groups, especially during those high peak months. There's no other state that does that for various customers right now. So this change won't go unnoticed. Our customers are very vocal, so we expect internally our costs for dealing with the public communication will go up. We also expect that our reservation contractor will receive a lot of questions on this via the reservation channel, which could impact our costs in the future, our contract costs for services. Our current costs are based on historic phone usage. So when we negotiated our rates, we looked at 5 years' worth of data in terms of how many phone calls we were getting and how many minutes we were actually on the phone. If our contractor is expected to provide a higher level of support, they will likely look to recoup that cost. And one way they could do that is via a higher reservation fee in the future. That fee would increase not only the department's cost, but it could potentially affect all the customers who currently pay a reservation fee as we look to defray that cost. The change that's being potentially being asked would require a contract amendment and a pretty lengthy time to implementation. The preliminary talks we have had with our contractor led us to believe that this is a big custom programming change. They work with, they're the biggest provider for all the state systems, and what they've told us is that nobody has requested this sort of change before, so Oregon will have to bear the technical programming changes costs. The other cost that we're looking at is we would have to open up the contract and amend it. We would have to change our Oregon administrative rules for the program. There will be significant time in the planning phase until we get to a solution, and then we would want to make sure that we test that solution and it works as intended. And then, of course, we would have to allow for ample communication time with all our customers because it is such a big change before we could implement. Our current contract with Active Outdoors runs through April 2020, so we still have a few years of work to do with them. We could also see some higher program administration changes. Currently, our monitoring is, while it's done based off of some global reporting, we do a lot of manual work where we go back to individual reservations and then we validate the data before we contact customers. An increased number of reservations for this program would lead to higher monitoring costs. Lastly, I would add that the Oregon veterans with a service-connected disability may currently have access to other sites that are not available to regular customers. OPRD currently has about 500 ADA designated sites. We hold those sites for customers with disability. And while not every veteran in our program could use or qualify for an ADA site, for many of them that option is available. Those sites are held offline and are available for the exclusive use of disabled users, including disabled veterans, until 7 p.m. on the day of arrival. Thank you for your time and patience.
So did you say there were 28,000 people that use the program, veterans that use the program now?
40,000 people in the program, yes.
People. Yes. Not just veterans.
No, veterans. This program.
Just veterans.
Yes, just the veterans. Over 40,000, and I could dig out a specific number to the number if you'd like.
Yeah. No. And okay. then you said there was so with those 40,000, $1.5 million worth of fees have been waived.
Are waived every biennium.
Every biennium.
Yes.
And so so that. Impacts your administrative costs?
It impacts our revenue. It's a fee that we don't get back, and I would say probably 70% of that would be something that would impact our revenue, because 30% of the usage occurs during the off season, mm-hmm. and one could argue that other customers would not compete for those sites.
In my younger years with children, when we went camping and took advantage of outdoor activities, it was very difficult. So I could never plan far enough ahead to ever get a reservation. But with going with a month earlier, then that would even decrease the amount of of availability for everyone else, although I love my veterans. Okay, you've answered my questions.
You're doing a fine job. Continue, Madam. Are there any other questions?
Yes.
Yes, please.
Thank you very much, Mr. Chair. Ma'am, when you talk about you would need a contract amendment, mm-hmm. this company you contract with, are they located here in Oregon?
No, they're not located here in Oregon. They're based out of Texas.
Out of Texas. Thank you. Follow up, please.
Please.
Thank you very much. Since they're based out of Texas, they would get, and just follow my thinking here and tell me where I'm going wrong if I am. They would typically get a call from a veteran and say, I would like to book a spot on such and such a date, and you have a window where they can start calling in. Mm-hmm. And am I correct in that?
Absolutely.
Okay. And so basically what we're saying then is that a veteran can call in 1 month prior to this window. So my question is, why would it cost them more to accept a call 1 month earlier than when everybody else can call in?
Very good questions that are also members of the committee. Let me clarify, while they're based in Texas, mm-hmm. they're a very large corporation. Okay. The folks who take our phone calls primarily reside in Oregon. They are what they call work-at-home agents, and that workforce is supplemented with folks from their New York call center and their Sacramento call center. So I just wanted to clarify that. But your question about them calling ahead, it's not as simple as just calling ahead and making a reservation. The system that accepts reservations is programmed for 9 months ahead. So even if they try to make a reservation right now, that system would prevent their agents from making a reservation, because they build that system according to our program rules, and that is one of the safeguards in place to make sure there's no abuse, and more importantly, there's no mistake, and one of their agents couldn't book somebody outside of the business rules. So it would require a programming change to open up that inventory a month early for just the pass holder numbers.
Follow up,
please,
if you don't mind. Thank you, Mr. Chair. So what you're saying is that we're in March, and you just said that they're programmed for 9 months ahead. So in December of this year, could I call today and make a reservation for December?
Absolutely correct, Senator Olson. You could call today and make a reservation for exactly 9 months ahead, to the day.
To the day.
Yes.
Fellow?
Please.
If I wanted a reservation for July, that falls within the nine-month window.
Correct.
Would I still be able to make that call for a July reservation?
You can make that call today. You can make that call at any time up to 1 day before your desired reservation day in July.
Okay, so where I'm going, I'll follow up.
Please.
So where I'm going with this is that if I could make a call today for July and I can make a call today for December, could a disabled veteran call, say we both wanted the July date, and we both wanted to call in on June 1st, could he call in on April 1st and still get the same date because it's still within your nine-month window?
Correct. Anybody would be able to call on April 1st and get that July date because it is within the nine-month window. That inventory is currently open and available for everybody.
So then, I guess my next follow-up, I'm sorry. So then my next question is, I don't see the problem why they couldn't call in a month early. As long as it's within the nine-month window, and you would answer the phone and you said, hello, Oregon State Parks Reservation, you'd like to make a reservation? Question, please, are you a disabled veteran? Yes, I am. Well, you can actually book a reservation a month in advance if you'd like. So I don't understand why we need a contract change. And if you could clarify that, I would really appreciate it.
Absolutely. It's my pleasure, Senator Olson. We don't need to ask the contractor or anybody else to allow a month early if it is within the nine-month window. What this bill is proposing is a 10-month window for veterans with a service-connected disability, uh-huh, and a nine-month window for everybody else.
Uh-huh. See, now you just clarified it.
I apologize it took me so long to get
no.
There.
It's difficult to determine when you're sitting on the dais and have never made a call for a reservation to a park to totally understand what you were saying.
Yes.
And now I get it. You're the nine-month window, and we want to make it 10 for disabled veterans.
Correct.
So my next follow-up. So my next question would be, why is that so difficult?
Senator Olson, I am not a technical expert. I can only rely on the information from our contractor. Like I mentioned, it's a really big company. They serve many states. They provide a reservation platform that essentially serves the broad state population. They have the option to customize, but this would be a significant change because no other state that they currently work with have two different reservation windows. This is a significant departure from how state camping systems operate. We all hold our reservation window sacred, so when I interact with my counterparts or other states, we all share the same experience. So it would require a programming change in a very large system. I wish I could tell you more, and that's something that we could ask our contractor for more details on, but I'm not qualified to provide an opinion on the technical challenges of this kind of system change.
Question?
Yes, Madam Vice Chair.
When you do it online, how do you prove that you're a disabled veteran?
Great question, Madam Vice Chair. I mentioned the card.
Right.
On the back of it, there's a number, and it's a unique ID number that's associated with that veteran. So in order to...
So it's their ID.
So it's their ID number.
You.
They enter that ID, and it automatically waives those fees.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Mr. Chair, I'm pondering this question, and I'm trying to figure out how to make it. We have a nine-month window, and I gave you the example of in December. But this system is open year-round, correct?
It's open 9 months ahead.
Right, but it's in January, I could book a thing for August.
Absolutely, 24 hours a day.
So now it brings back the question again. If it's always open, and it always is taking reservations from January 1st to December 31st, I don't understand why it would be that difficult to allow a disabled veteran to get a reservation 10 months instead of 9.
Senator Olson, I wish I had a perfect answer for that. I think for the general population and for users, it seems like a very simple question. However, when we're talking about these mammoth systems that are sort of 0-1 and they have to do all these different changes and account for different sites and the many parks we have and the many states out there and all their different rules, my understanding is that it's a significant change for the contractor. I mentioned earlier that until May 2016, we couldn't even allow our veterans to enter that number online and receive the discount at the time of reservation. We had to push significantly on our contractor to deliver that. And when I assumed the role that I currently am in, I was pretty flabbergasted that in 2016, we can't offer that to our veterans. That's all I can share with you at this time.
Follow up? One last question, if I may.
Last one.
And not a problem. Thank you. We've got a lot of stuff to do. Is it possible to bring this contractor in here and sit him where you're sitting so I can ask him some questions?
I can definitely ask, or we can phone them in. I am happy to provide any information on behalf of the department from our contractor at your request.
Thank you, because you must understand that I have a very, very, very deep respect for veterans.
Absolutely.
And anything we can do to benefit our veterans is anything I want to do.
Absolutely.
And I'd like to be able to twist this guy's arm and find out why we can't get 10 months instead of 9. Thank you.
Well, everything is possible, Senator Olson, I may add, but it carries a cost, and I think that's what we need to figure out.
Well, I think that's an opportunity.
Absolutely.
Senator Hanson, want anything else?
I'm sitting here listening to, I had a disabled vet, one of my constituents. He came to me as his elected official. Senator, it would really be nice if we would be able to have a little bit of time. He suggested a month. Could be a day, could be a week, I don't know. And I wasn't familiar with this rotating, this continually revolving capability to schedule. And I said, sure, you know, I'll do what I can. And that's the reason for this bill. I'm, as Senator Olson has said, a lot of us have a special place in our hearts for those who have served, and a special, special place in our hearts for those who were injured and have our wounded warriors. And so I thought, you know, it made sense. Let's try to do it. But, you know, we're hearing today that there's other things. You know, the parks will lose money on it because that'll be a place that could otherwise go to somebody else at a higher wage. Might make other campers upset because the disabled vets had a little bit of an edge on getting a place in the parks. More administration for the folks to have to monitor this. We got a provider out of Texas that has their set up. No other state has even tried to do this or thought about it, which kind of makes me in Oregon want to do it even more. But it's, you know, all the reasons why we can't do it. And I think it can be done if we have the will to do it. But at the same time, I don't think my veteran constituent had in mind that we would have to completely redo the entire park system in order to make this happen. But it was just a request, and I'll leave it up to your guidance and wisdom as to what you want to do. But I'm honored and proud to have submitted this bill for your consideration.
Would it be easier if how many state park or how many state forests do we have that this would impact, or state parks.
Yeah.
Hundreds.
We have, let me check, I think about 40 reservation parks.
40.
Yes.
Okay, so is it possible to designate at each park for a veteran, and then if they are not filled within a certain amount of time, that way we wouldn't have to do this whole computer thing, but have a you know, a slot, just like there's, you have slots for disabled, right? Why not disabled veterans? I don't know if that would work or not, but just trying to think outside the box so it would get the fiscal way down.
Madam Vice Chair, that is definitely something that would be within our control, and if directed to do that, we can set aside a certain number of sites and keep them off the system for the use of disabled veterans, similar to the ADA sites.
But then letting, if not filled, the opportunity for others to...
Correct. Even our ADA sites, like I mentioned, they're held until 7 p.m. the day of arrival.
Oh, dear.
If nobody has a need for that site, then we allow the first available customer to walk into that site for a fee.
Please, Chair.
I really like that idea, Vice Chair. Perhaps you could, all that the bill is trying to do is to give the disabled vets a little bit of, so if you were to designate X number of sites, say 5, 10, I don't, whatever, in each of the 40 parks, and say that within the first month on that 9-month rotation, that those sites are reserved for disabled veterans. And the veterans, we get the word out that in that 9 months, you have the opportunity to reserve those sites. And sort of like a block of rooms on a convention, if you don't fill them by the end of the 9th month or whatever is decided, they go back into the inventory and everybody's in the same thing. But for a period of time, say 1 month, I'm just pulling that off, they would have, instead of having them on the 10th month, we'll make it the 9th month, you would have the opportunity to reserve those. And but then from then on, your regular rooms like everybody, rooms, regular camping spots like everybody else. That would solve what we're trying to do.
I don't know.
Okay, madam. You can either come back to another hearing, or you can work with Senator Hansel and see if you guys can figure out some mechanism as he just described. Is that okay with you?
Absolutely. Thank you, Senator Chair Boquist.
Any other questions? And we'll go from there. If we need to do an amendment, they need the direction. Are you game, Senator Hansel?
I certainly am, and I'm just crushed that Senator Olson didn't ask to sign on to my bill.
If you'll happen to look, I'm already on it. Along with Senator Boquist.
Thank you very much, ma'am.
Thank you.
With that, colleagues, we're going to close the public hearing on SB 380. I'm assuming, since Senator Riley is not here, that went well. And with that, we have a series of work sessions. Is that correct? You want to start at the top?
Yes, Mr. Chair.
We're going to go right down our existing calendar. And I will ask you a question before, which one of these does have an amendment, so I know which one.
It's the very first one, Mr. Chair.
SB 61. It's the only one with an amendment, okay. 61. With that, colleagues, we're going to open a work session on SB 61.
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, Senate Bill 61 was previously heard on the 7th of March. It adds 10 new designees to the list of those required to coordinate emergency preparedness and response with the Office of Emergency Management. The Dash 1 amendment adds Oregon Travel Information Council to that list. It has a minimal fiscal impact and no revenue impact.
Dash 1, Madam Vice Chair.
Chair Boquist, I move Senate Bill 61 to the floor. With a due pass recommend to first. Okay. I move to adopt the Dash 1 amendments dated 3/9/17.
Madam Vice Chair, Monis Anderson moves to adopt the Dash 1 amendments dated 3/9/17. Is there discussion? Is there opposition? So ordered. Madam, if you would please.
Chair, I move Senate Bill 61 as amended to the floor with a due pass recommendation.
Madam Vice Chair, Monis Anderson moves SB 61 as amended by the Dash 1 to the floor with a due pass recommendation. Is there discussion? Is there opposition? So ordered.
Carry on, Mr. Chair.
We'll just start left to right. You're first. If you would please, Senator Olson.
Yes.
Right. With that, we're going to close the work session SB 61 and open work session SB 62.
Mr. Chair, Members of the committee, Senate Bill 62 was also previously heard on March 7th. The committee will call this measure modifies and expands intrastate mutual assistance compacts that are used by local governments to include state and tribal governments. It renames them the Oregon Resource Coordination Assistance Agreements. It requires state government participation. It permits tribal governments to opt in and local governments to opt out via a resolution or ordinance. It directs the Office of Emergency Management to develop procedures and guidelines for implementation. It has no amendment. It has no fiscal impact and no revenue impact.
We've had a previous hearing on this. Madam Vice Chair.
Chair Boquist, I move Senate Bill 62 to the floor with a due pass recommendation.
Madam Vice Chair, Monis Anderson moves SB 62 to the floor with a due pass recommendation. Is there discussion? Is there opposition? Seeing none, so ordered. Madam Vice Chair, would you be kind enough to carry 62?
Is that what I said yes to? I'm carrying a bill. Is that?
You didn't notice. You're going to get two before it's over. With that, we're going to close the public hearing on SB 62 and open a public hearing on SB 79.
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, Senate Bill 79 was heard on the 14th of March. This measure makes explicit that the Oregon Department of Veterans Affairs may file an affidavit describing its exempt status in lieu of documentation showing compliance with foreclosure mediation requirements. Becomes operative 91 days after its effective date. Declares emergency as effective on passage. It's a technical fix, as you recall, for Senate Bill 252 in the 2015 session. There's no fiscal and no revenue impact.
Chair Boquist, I move Senate Bill 79 to the floor with a due pass recommendation.
Madam Vice Chair, Monis Anderson moves SB 79 to the floor with a due pass. Is there discussion? Is there opposition? Seeing none, so ordered. I will carry SB 79. With that, we'll close the work session, SB 79, open a work session on SB 80. If you would, please, counsel.
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, Senate Bill 80 was previously heard on March 7th. It recognizes the unique service of Native American veterans. It requires the Department of Veterans Affairs to assist with programs overseen by the tribes and U.S. government accreditation of tribal veterans representatives. There's no amendment. There is an indeterminate fiscal impact and no revenue impact.
Chair Boquist, I move Senate Bill 80 to the floor with a due pass recommendation.
Madam Vice Chair, Monis Anderson moves SB 80 to the floor with a due pass recommendation. Is there discussion? Is there opposition? Then so ordered. If you'd be so kind, Senator Courtney, to carry SB 80. With that, I'm going to close the work session on SB 80 and open a work session on SB 562.
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, Senate Bill 562 adds the unremarried surviving spouses of active duty military personnel killed in the line of duty to the list of persons who may receive a property tax exemption of up to $250,000 of the assessed value of their homestead. It takes effect the 91st day after sine die. This measure has a subsequent referral to the Senate Committee on Finance and Revenue, so we've received a light fiscal analysis and a light revenue analysis pending further analysis in the next committee. There's no amendment, and I believe it was the committee's intent to pass without recommendation, if I recall correctly.
That's how we've been doing it in all the other committees.
Chair Boquist, I move Senate Bill 562 to the floor without recommendation that the bill be referred to the Committee on Finance and Revenue by prior reference.
Madam Vice Chair Monis, I move SB 562 to the floor without recommendation. The bill is referred to the Joint Committee on Finance and Revenue for prior reference. There's discussion. That's the committee I sent on, and I'll shepherd this when it gets to our other committee. Is there opposition? So ordered that we will not need a carrier. And with that, we will move, close the work session, SB 562, and open a work session on SB 694.
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, Senate Bill 694 also has a subsequent referral to the Senate Committee on Finance and Revenue. It was also previously heard on February 28th. This is the one that increases the upper limit of two existing property tax exemptions for disabled veterans and their unremarried surviving spouses from $15,000 to $60,000 and from $18,000 to $65,000, and creates a third higher exemption of up to $150,000 of the assessed value of a homestead or personal property. Takes effect the 91st day after sine die. Because of the subsequent referral and the further analysis, we've got a light fiscal and a light revenue on this one as well, and it has no amendment.
Chair Boquist, I move Senate Bill 694 to the floor without recommendation that the bill be referred to the Committee on Finance and Revenue by prior reference.
Senate, Madam Vice Chair Monis Anderson, SB 694 to the floor without recommendation and bill to be referred to the Joint Committee on Finance and Revenue by prior reference. That will again go to the committee that I serve on. Is there further discussion? Is there opposition? Seeing none, so ordered. That would close the work session on SB 694. Is there anything for the good of the order, colleagues? If not, we are adjourned. If not, we are adjourned.